Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun owners in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so today, another body was found. Well, yesterday, another body was found in Lady Bird Lake in Austin, Texas. And also, the pardoning of Daniel Perry, governor. The governor of Texas says he's going to give Daniel Perry a pardon. We're going to talk about that and also a little bit more about that case, some things that actually were released by the judge. Also, Gary Faust, Jamie Hammonds from Dash returned to the show to further discuss the potential of a serial killer after another body was found in the Lady Bird Lake. So we'll talk about all that stuff. Man, how many bodies is that? That four? Four bodies in 10 weeks? Well, we're going to talk about that. Don't slam the door. We're going to talk about that. All right. So, but you know what? I want to talk about this man, Daniel Perry. So, Sergeant United States Army, Daniel Perry. You know, we've talked about this case on how he was in Austin, Texas, you know, down on 4th Street working for Uber, dropping off a passenger, you know, trying to make some bucks there. He was stationed at Fort Benning. It's now called something else. I don't even know the name of the base they call it now. But it was formerly, Fort Hood, Texas. Formerly Fort Hood, Texas. Cavazos. Fort Cavazos. Cavazos. All right, so they've changed the name. And so, working in Austin, Texas, back in July of 2020. And he drops off a passenger. And then, man. There's like protests, there's riots, people in the street, taken to the street. They're upset about, you know, George Floyd. They're letting their voices be heard, let everyone know they're, you know, really upset about police accountability or lack thereof. And so he ends up smack dag in this actual protest. Now, the judge released this week some documents. And here's how you need to make sure you have a legal plan once you decide to carry a firearm. If you're going to carry a gun, have a plan just in case you have to use that firearm. One, you know, you protect yourself. Absolutely. Once you protect yourself, you dial 911, let them know your name, where you're located, you've been a victim of a crime, and you need paramedics, police, or whatever you need, and make sure they understand that. They have that address locked in. They know that, you know, what you're wearing, so they know, you know, that your color, the color of your shirt, the color of your pants, your shoes, whatever, so they know who you are. So the police will know who to contact once they arrive on the scene. Then you hang up the phone, you call your attorney, and then either let your attorney tell you what to say or let your attorney talk to the police over the phone. And this is the best advice I can give you directly after you've been, you know, you've been in a situation where you have to use your firearm. Now, here's where Mr. Perry kind of messed up a little bit. He messed up because Once the police arrived at the scene, he immediately started talking to the police. He didn't exercise his right to remain silent. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Instead of exercising that right to remain silent, he decides to talk to the police. They get him down to the station. He continues to talk. He says, I don't want to be alone right now. You know, please have someone stay with me. And he continued to talk to them like they're his best friend. They're his counselor, his therapist. They're not your friend. They're not your counselor. They're not your therapist. You need to protect yourself at this point from law enforcement, because whatever you say, it is being videotaped. It is being documented. It is going to be on the nightly news, and it will be played in the courtroom over and over and over again. So he decides to talk. That's where he went wrong there. And then he began to show the police officer, you know, kind of, you know, demonstrations of what he's doing, you know, how the gun was held by the person that he shot, you know, what he was doing in the vehicle, instead of contacting an attorney, getting legal advice, and letting his attorney do the talking for him. Now, once you've done all that, you kind of messed up there. Then he gives the police his phone. Oh, my God. Are you serious? He actually handed the officer his phone. You gave the police your phone. They have complete access to it. So people are wondering, how did the police get, you know, his messages and, you know, get into his Facebook Messenger or, you know, text messages and things of that nature? Well, because he handed it over to law enforcement. And that is a complete no-no. You need to protect yourself from everyone except your attorney. So once you've done that, the cat's out of the box. Now, it's not illegal to be racist, you know. And so it turns out he made some racist comments. Yeah, it turned out that he wanted to actually, you know, possibly, he said, hey, if I run into some protesters, guess what? You know, I'm going to defend myself, and this is how I'm going to do it. Well, you shouldn't do that either. And so those are some of the things he kind of messed up on. But here we are today. He's now been convicted. Should there have been a reasonable doubt for the jury? I think so, but I'm not an attorney. I'm not in the jury pool. That's not for me to decide. That's for them to decide. And so he was actually convicted. Now, let's jump to the other side. The other side, you have Garrett Foster, who is a prior military Air Force. You know, decides to help his paraplegic girlfriend, wife, whatever it is, and actually participate in the protests. And that's wonderful. That's what you're supposed to do. As a partner, you know, you're living a life with your loved one, you're going to participate in the protests. So he goes downtown. They're taken to the streets. They're marching, letting people know they're upset about George Floyd, the lack of police accountability and all that stuff. Decides to carry an AK-47, which he's done a number of times. And then, you know, you had two knuckleheads meet each other. Garrett Foster, knucklehead number one. Daniel Perry, knucklehead number two. They bumped heads. And guess what? He who draws first wins. And that's what happens. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. So here you have, now everyone's coming out and saying that Daniel Perry is this racist individual because he shot someone who's participating in a Black Lives Matter protest. Daniel Perry, Sergeant of the United States Army, shot another white guy who is not only white, he's whiter than white. He's, what's that boxer? The ginger. What's his name?
Canelo.
No, another one. Anyway, he's whiter than white. He kills this guy. That's not racist. One white guy shoots another white guy. It's not racist. If you want to know someone who's racist, I'll tell you who's racist. Garrett Foster is racist. You have this young man who's carrying an AK-47, whiter than white. He's pushing a black female paraplegic into oncoming traffic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is racist. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace, this is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
The
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so, you know, I want to talk about this serial killer. Is there a serial killer in Austin? I don't know. But you know what? We got a video. And we're going to change gears a little bit. I got a video of an interview that we want you to listen to. Take a listen to this.
All right, so I'm here with Jamie Hammonds from Dash, documenting Austin streets and homeless. You can find him on Twitter at DocumentingATX. We've been sort of covering these bodies that have been cropping up in Lady Bird Lake together. And we're here right near the Longhorn Dam on the north side of Lady Bird Lake, where about 2 hours ago, a body was pulled out of this space right here, right over here. This is where it was, right where this loop is, this like little looping branch. And this is, if you include the body of the guy that was found by Thaddeus over on the other side of the lake, this is the fifth body that has cropped up in the lake this year.
February the 5th.
Okay, and if you don't include that, then there's been four that are, including this one, four in the past 6 weeks.
Yes, past 6 weeks.
All right, so can you let us know what all you found here? Because you got here before I did, and you know what's sort of happened.
So there's not a whole lot of information about this. There was, earlier today around 1 o'clock, there was a call to 911. There was a fisherman here that found a body here in the water, called 911, and the police came out here. They had the lake rescue folks put a boat in the water. They pulled the body out. The only thing that we know about it right now is it was a white male, and the body was very decomposed. We do not know names or ages or anything. So they're going to be doing an autopsy this evening on it, so hopefully there'll be some information coming out here pretty soon. But other than that, we had the presser earlier from the police department. They released literally no information other than white male. One of the reporters there did ask the PIO if it could have possibly been a boating accident at some point or some type of an accident, and he would not answer that question. So,
and you also did say that another reporter said, well, asked them why they weren't reassuring the public about that.
Right, yeah.
When given that there's so much speculation that there might be a serial killer or multiple murders or a cult rituals or yeah. what have you.
Yeah, hey, one of the reporters there did ask him about that because they are being very tight-lipped. And he didn't really have a good answer other than, you know, the straight line of when you go out to parks, go out with friends, you know, be safe, know your surroundings. So I don't know if they're going to actually come out and release any other information or try to reassure the public. I know that online right now, as you know, speculation is way up here,
right.
and people are freaked out here in Austin. So it's an odd situation with this body here. Four bodies we had on February the 5th. Jason John, Clifton Axtell was found on March the 5th.
And Clifton Axtell, there was almost no news coverage or any real information about him.
Yeah, I stumbled across his death. I was going through records on APD's website, ended up stumbling across his death and finding his obituary. It's a long story on that, but he was
confirmed drowned.
Yes, right, okay. Yeah, he was confirmed drowned.
And the other one was Jonathan Honey.
Yeah, so Clifton Axtell was March the 5th. Jason John was on February the 5th. Clifton Axtell was March 5th. Jonathan Honey was on March 31st, and now we have this guy today.
And right, and those are the four that have been found drowned in the water.
In the water. Well, we don't know if this one is drowned as of yet.
But it was found in the water.
It was found in the water, so I would speculate that he was drowned. But hopefully, within the next 24 hours, we'll have confirmation of that.
Right. Cool. All right. Well, we'll keep everybody updated as we find more info.
100%.
All right, our call-in number is 512-643-5483. That's 512-643-5483. 512-643-LIVE. Definitely give me a call and tell me what you're thinking. I want to know, do you think there's a serial killer here in Austin? Tell me what your thoughts are on the Daniel Perry trial, the murder trial. Also, Governor Perry's going to pardon him. So we're waiting to see when, I'm sorry, Gary, Governor Abbott.
Daniel Perry.
Daniel Perry. I said Governor Perry. Man, I'm mixing it all up today. These names, I tell you. Governor Abbott's going to pardon Daniel Perry. So wait and see when that's going to happen. I don't know. It gets handed over to the board there, the pardon, that entity, and then they have to send it over to the governor. And see what happens. And some people are thinking, you know, that may not happen, but I disagree. I'm pretty sure that the Board of Pardons is going to actually send the information with the recommendation over to the governor. The governor's going to do what he wants to do because those people are actually appointed by the governor. So, of course, they're going to do what the governor wants. So that's a no-brainer there. All right, but Gary, let's talk about this body. Another body found at Lady Bird Lake.
Jamie actually has more info on this one than I do, so I'm going to give him the floor.
Yeah, there's really not a whole lot of information at the moment on this one. Like I said, it was just this just happened yesterday afternoon. Really, the only thing that we have right now was a badly decomposed body was found about in between 1 and 2 yesterday. There was apparently several 911 calls from what I gathered of some fishermen there. The body was pretty decomposed and caught up there in the brush by the land. They did a water rescue. They were supposed to do the autopsy last night, but I do not think that was actually completed. I think they were going to wait and do it today. So I'm still waiting to hear. Hopefully we'll have some information within the next 24 hours on him. But it has really got Austin up in the air. These bodies just keep getting found, and the more bodies that are found, the odds just keep getting higher and higher.
But it takes a little while for the toxicology report to come back. That takes like at least 3 months.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I think the general time frame is 90 days. You're right.
But aren't most of them coming back inconclusive because they were in the water?
Yeah, I think most of them so far, alcohol. I think one guy had some amphetamines in his system. But most of them have just basically been alcohol at this point. But again, they are not testing for drugs like GHB. Any of the date rape drugs. So unless they're specifically testing for that, it will not be found.
Wow. And you would think at this point that would be one of the things they actually check for.
You would think so. I don't know if they can go back. I don't know if they keep those samples. If they can go back after the fact and retest them, you would. If they are actually looking into this like they say they are, I would imagine they're probably doing it.
Everyone's thinking that, you know, there's a possibility that someone is actually drugging these people at the bar, right there at the bar, whether it's an employee of the bar or a customer in the bar, you know, maybe meeting someone and dropping something in their drink and then following that person outside, you know,
right,
getting a relationship, you know, building a relationship conversation with this person, getting them outside, and then being there when they actually succumb to whatever they dropped in their drink, and then do whatever and push them in the lake and kill them, whether it's a fantasy or what.
For sure. And Gary and I have talked to a lot of people in the last few weeks, and pretty much everybody that we talk to has a story about being drugged, or they know somebody personally that's been drugged.
Yeah, there's definitely a drugging issue in Austin, whether it's on Rainy or on 6th Street.
Have you been drugged, Gary?
I got drugged on 6th Street like 6 months ago, 7 months ago.
What did you experience?
Full blackout.
So yeah, I'm actually walking around and stuff, but you just don't remember what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. But I took a drug test the next day, and I was I had benzodiazepines in my system, which is Xanax.
I've read that GHB is totally metabolized by your body 12 hours after taking it.
Yeah, I've been told that this last couple of weeks. I've been told that. Mm-hmm. I've actually been told that even once somebody dies, they might not be able to find it. So I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody that's a medical professional.
Yeah, if you get drugged by 10 p.m., then that means if you don't get your sample out by 10 a.m.,
it's gone.
Then it's completely gone.
Mm. Scary. Scary to think that.
That's very scary.
Yeah, it's kind of scary to think about the fact that this whole situation is essentially teaching people how to be a killer. If these people are being murdered.
Yeah. And then you look at like the group on Facebook, the Lady Bird Lake serial killer. That side has gone off the rails.
What do you mean?
It's just some of the theories and stories that's coming off of that site. It is in my opinion, it's a little bit dangerous, you know, the theories that they're floating out.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of people in that group that are it's speculation. And then there are people that it's not like they don't care about what's going on or they don't want to help, but there's a lot of speculation and potentially people fanning the flames of pandemonium. Yes. And connecting dots that aren't connected. However, in that process, I think things that are true are also being found out. So it's what do you call that? It's
you gotta pick and choose what information is. It's hard. There's so many members now, and there's so much information.
Well, there's 67,000 people being moderated by 10 admins, maybe.
10 admins. Yeah, about 10 admins.
I think that the admins are probably doing the best job that they can, and I also know that Facebook filters out certain words. So some of the people that are being cut out of there or blocked are not being done. It's not being done by the admins. It's being done by Facebook. You can't post certain things. You got to word things a certain way. Again, that's the big tech censorship once again getting in the way of.
Yeah.
All right. I come back. Our calling number is 512-643-5483. That's 512-643-5483. Skip, I see you. I'm going to give you a lot of time there. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Cole on Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
Hey, all right. So, man, we're talking about the Daniel Perry. We're talking about the Lady Bird Lake. We're talking about the killer. Is there a serial killer? We're also, you know, talking about this Facebook group, the Lady Bird Lake Killer Facebook group. And I think the killer's in that group, let me tell you. But you know what? Let's go to our phone lines. Our phone is 512-643-5483. That's 512-643-5483. Give me a call and tell me what you're thinking. Let's go to Skip Davis. Skip, how you doing there, sir?
Hey, brother, your show is on point as always, and your guests are interesting as always. We need to get you some viewership and some ad money so we can get your message out there. But look, I wanted to mention two things. One, GHB can be detected, according to the National Institute of Health, last thing I read was probably last year, for up to 30 days after it's been administered. So through a hair follicle test. So, but the hair follicle is usually not tested in a autopsy kind of format. But they do have access to vitreous eye fluid, which is a kind of profound way to do a toxicology. I think that there's something funky going on. I was called and been solicited to assist in the search for Jason Johns. And apparently his the circumstances of all the witnesses who were around during his demise or just before his demise was that he was just a regular guy walking to the house and he wasn't wasted or anything. And somehow he got distracted or waylaid. You tell me, but nobody thinks that he was so wasted that he couldn't make it home by any stretch of imagination. So that's kind of weird.
Right.
Now, about Daniel Perry, listen, this is not a good guy with a gun. We just have to acknowledge that. He's not a good guy. He was a guy with a gun. And by his own comments and by his own statements, he made himself out to be a thug with the gun. So for at least 2 months prior to the incident that he had with Garrett, this guy had been fantasizing shooting protesters. And that's okay. Everybody has fantasies. But what's problematic to me is he admitted committing several crimes. Not theoretical crimes, not crimes of imagination. But this guy says he's a serial drunk driver. He admits it. He admits being a serial drunk driver. He says it's what I am. I drive drunk. I had to drive drunk one particular night, he says in these messages, because my designated driver got too drunk. And since I had the most experience and success driving drunk, I took the wheel. And then he brags further and states that he caused an accident in his drunken state that flipped over another person's car. And then he somehow passed the sobriety test and convinced the cops to take the other guy away as being drunk. He writes that. That makes him a criminal. He drives drunk. He is a menace. Why would we give a pass to a menace, number one? Number two, again, within 60 days just before having this incident, he admits to having killed somebody on I-35 in some random unexplained incident. And he says afterwards, well, you know, I reported to the cops and they let me go. He was convicted of family violence back in 2005 of beating his wife. We want to give this guy a pass? We got to really think. If we're going to give passes, we did not give George Floyd an exoneration, or, you know, when it was discovered that, Detective Goins had planted dope on him and others.
All right. Now,
to get a conviction.
All right. So
let's be, if we're letting guys who have criminal histories get pardons, then I think we need to go back and make sure we're consistent across the board.
All right. So now to the first part of that, you know, he was not drunk on the night that he had to defend himself downtown on Congress. So
I don't know. He didn't submit. There's no evidence that he submitted to field sobriety test or took a blow or anything like that.
So there's no evidence of that. So
yes,
he was not
innocent until proven guilty.
Right. So he's not. So that's not even called to question any of that stuff, right?
No. Nobody's accusing him of being drunk. That makes it even better.
Wait, but what I don't understand. I mean, sure, everything you said could be true, Skip. Long time no see, by the way.
It is true.
But yeah, sure. But what does that have anything to do with what happened that night? You can't convict somebody based on the past of who they are, you know.
Well, it's
and I don't really have a dog in this race. I don't really feel one way or the other.
Oh no, is that me? Hang on.
All right.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you know, the manifestos that these school shooters leave behind, we use that information to help convict them, to show their intent, that there wasn't an accident, that they weren't insane, and those kinds of things. So why can't his text messages be used in the same way?
Did you say school shooters?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't a school shooter.
Doesn't matter. The point I'm trying to make is not the class of person,
right,
but the quality of the evidence. The way the evidence is allowed into that is used is, you know, once you're, if you're the defendant, the evidence is used to try to convict you. And unfortunately, the rules are written in a way that supports the evidence being used to convict you.
If anyone looked like a shooter, would have been Garrett Foster. He looked like, you know, an active shooter with the way he was dressed with the face match tactical gear and the AK-47.
Not to mention there was an interview with him prior where he was actually mentioning possibly shooting people. So based on your logic, it sounds like Garrett Foster is the person who's just as guilty of being a criminal as Daniel Perry is, based on what you're saying.
No, because Garrett Foster doesn't have any priors, didn't write a bunch of emails admitting.
Okay, so what about the school shooters that don't have any priors?
Hold on.
What about the school shooters, Skip, that don't have any priors, though? Serious. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to do that.
That's fine. I don't care if you do gotcha or not. That's my game. Listen, it comes down to this. You have to show intent. There were 12 people, witnesses, and videographers and experts that came to testify, none of them said that this guy Garrett pointed a gun at this gentleman. And that's all fine. But those are 12 witnesses.
Were they?
And they're all going to be protesters.
Yeah.
They're all going to be Black Lives protesters. So they're definitely going to side with Garrett.
Yeah, his buddies didn't snitch him out. I mean, good for them, I guess.
Hang on. The physical evidence, which is videos and stills, do not show the weapon being raised and other than a high carry with the stock up against his ear with the barrel to the ground, period. And don't forget, he gave a confession. And in the confession he said, I never gave the guy his chance to raise the gun and point it at me. So that all is taken into account for the 12 jurors. There's what 12 woke people. You understand how hard it is to get 12 woke people on a jury? It's almost impossible.
In Austin, Texas? It's almost probable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, listen, guys, I do this for a living. I just tried a case where somebody got 50 years back last month. Back in the fall. It's no game. And these jurors take this stuff seriously. They don't go back there and they huffaw about who loved Lloyd Doggett. They take these charges seriously. And I tried my ass off to save this guy, you can bet. But he got 50 stinking years. And we had a disagreement. There was absence of evidence in his case. There were fingernail clippings from the dead person who they never tested to see if there was DNA under them that would, my guy had zero wounds like on him, nothing. So if somebody gets their head cut off, you'd think that they would check the fingernails of the person who's dead, but they didn't. Absence of evidence.
Now we're looking at the photo.
My point is this: juries take these charges seriously. There's no such thing as a woke jury. The jury went back there and they considered everything. It took them 17 hours. It took my jury 4 hours, 8 hours maybe, but it took this jury 2 days, 2.5 days to sort that out. And they came to the conclusion that after having heard all the stuff, and remember the stuff that's just been unsealed, they did not hear about the racist comments, about the fantasizing, shooting Black Matters people, about the creating of a defense. Like we've been talking for years on this show about how to create a defense. Make sure you say you're scared for your life. He says all those things on these text messages, and they read back as if it's a plan, a schematic of how to do it. And that's what happened. He didn't take the stand. And that's a wise move, because had he took the stand, he would have to explain why he beat his wife back in 2005. He would have to explain, did he run somebody over, as he says in his text messages back and forth sometime, explain those circumstances.
Skip, can I ask you a question?
Are you a serial drunk driver? Tell us how you caused this wreck and got somebody else arrested. He couldn't afford to have that and then be asked the Furman question. And you guys remember Detective Furman from O.J. Simpson, the great Furman question asked by F. Lee Bailey. So you're not a racist. You never use the N-word. And guess what this guy says in his interview to the police officer that was played back to the jury? If you look at my Facebook social media, there's no racism.
Skip, how come the police decided not to press charges? Why did the Austin police decide not to press charges?
Not to press charges on who?
Daniel Perry.
A particular detective decided not to advance the idea. That's one detective.
Why? But why? That's my question, is why would he?
Because Fugits are racist. Those people of us who work in this business, we know these things.
So do you think it's also possible that the people who came to Garrett Foster's defense also could have had their own ulterior motives? It doesn't just work one way.
The problem is you guys are arguing things that were already presented to a jury, and those 12 August people who were selected for that particular job answered the questions. You guys can't keep asking the questions and then disregarding what the answer was. That's what you're doing. Stop it. Now let's look and see if this guy's entitled to a pardon. Now, a pardon goes to good people.
All right, hold on, Skip. We got to go to a break. We come back, we'll finish this conversation. But keep in mind, Garrett Foster, the redhead, the ginger, white guy, face mask, tactical gear, he was pushing his paraplegic black wife, female, his girlfriend, in front of oncoming traffic. Got to ask who really is the racist here. We come back from the break, we're going to talk about that. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right. So, you know, we're crying over spilt milk here. Daniel Perry has actually been convicted. He's a convicted murderer now. So the question on the table really is, hey, should the governor pardon this guy? That's the question on the table. Skip.
We pardon people who have been wrongly convicted, but we pardon people who are good people who were in unexplained circumstances. But I don't think that this is one of those circumstances where you can say where you can disregard the fact that this person has been engaged in a lot of criminality in very recent amount of time. And that, you know, if you want to paint this guy as a good guy with a gun, I'm afraid his criminality makes it he's just as thuggish as any Black Lives Matter thug who was armed.
But we look at the law. We have a castle doctrine. We have a stand your ground law. You know, when it comes to the castle doctrine, if someone enters my vehicle, tries to remove me from my vehicle, tries to kill me while I'm in my vehicle, I can use force, deadly force to stop them. The stand your ground law says anywhere I have a right to be, as long as I'm not committing a crime, something greater than a class C misdemeanor, and I don't provoke someone, then I can stand my ground. I can defend myself. So under the stand your ground law, the castle doctrine, I think he's okay.
Yeah, you know, I will say the only point here that Skip has that I would say is pertinent is that did this guy instigate something? And when he does talk about his past social media or text messages or whatever, is how do we determine if this guy purposefully drove into that on that right turn? Because that is in my opinion, what changes everything.
And let me make it absolutely bluntly clear. The three of us sitting here, the five of us sitting here, is as fun as we are and as brilliant as we are, we didn't just figure this out. That got presented to the jury. If you look at the jury charge, and I thought I had sent you a copy, Mark, don't remember if you've got it there handy. But if you look at the jury charge, it's a roadmap to how to figure out the case. And it states in the very beginning, and I'll be quick so we can have more comments, says, did this guy commit murder by the definition of murder? And the definition of murder is pretty simple. Then once you get through the definition of murder, is that murder justified by self-defense and the use of lethal force? And then it explains what the Castle Doctrine is and where it applies and how it applies. And then the question becomes, except in cases of provocation, this, blah, 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 blah. There's three or four exceptions. So those are all listed on the jury charge. So they went through this process that you're going through now, and they went through it mechanically, and they heard all the evidence, and they came away from hearing all the evidence with a particular view of things. And they debated it for 17 hours, and in the end, they spat out.
And someone went home and researched some stuff on their own and brought it back.
You know, that doesn't necessarily nullify things, but it certainly is a violation of the judge's instructions, which could result in a trial being reversed at appeal, but not in a pardon. It's extraordinary. We've never had a pardon on something like that. Not in Texas.
Okay. All right.
So there are tools available. If you want to undermine the rule of law in Texas, then just make it so. Just go ahead and pardon a Black Lives Matter, a murder of a Black Lives Matter ally. And if you don't think that that's going to cause more trouble again, especially in light of all of the things that have been unsealed, and the things that I pointed to that have been unsealed have not been pounced upon on the media because the media doesn't recognize that in trial, calling somebody an N-word ain't that bad necessarily. But if you get painted with the stink of career criminal, walking crime spree, that's the guy we look at and we say, yeah, we can't have him in society. Give him 20 instead of 5. And we're going to give him a pardon?
Okay. I hear you, Skip.
And so... So I urge them to let the appeals process work, and let's see where we wind up after the errors that they're accusing the jurors have engaged in, you know, how they get sorted out. But as for pardon, it makes it pretty hard for me to look at this guy and think that there's not going to be a whole bunch of protests.
Oh, it's going to be protests.
Yeah, probably yeah. More than just protests. It might even be riots.
We might as well get ready for it, plan for it, you know, get your security ready, do what you need to do, because it's going to happen.
You think Abbott's actually going to do it?
I think Abbott's going to pardon this guy, and I think there's going to be protests and riots.
So too. You know, it's a, you know, he
said it. He has to do it. He said it. He has to do it.
But he said it, and he's intelligent. He's a good politician, but he's been doing politics for a long time. He said that he'll do it upon the recommendation of the Board of Pardons and Paroles. Now they're all appointees.
Yeah, he put a little,
and they're all appointees, and he appointed them, so they're going to do what he really wants. So
if they
don't do it, that means he didn't want it.
And that, I think, is what Skip's getting at, right?
That's his
that's
out.
That's the caveat.
That's his out.
That's right. So he's put the investigation now in somebody else's hands. He didn't watch a day of trial. There's not one DPS staffer that went over there and watched a minute of trial. Nobody from his office went over there and watched that trial. So that reaction of his is simply in reaction to Tucker Carlson. Granted, that's all great and stuff. Now, is he going to really do it?
Well, he gave it. He said, well, let's see what the board of pardons and parole says. You send me a yes, I'll sign it right away. That's what it meant.
If he gets, if he gets a new trial, if he gets kicked back on appeal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
If he gets kicked back on appeal or he gets a new trial, then that kind of saves face a little bit also.
You know, there's a lot of ways to save face. And one is like Rick Perry says, or I'm sorry, George W. Bush said, well, you had all your fair appeals. And that's the point. Let the process work. That's why the process is there. It was a bad scene all the way around. But they elected to have 12 jurors hear it, and those people heard it. And they came away with a different view, point of view than everybody who kind of turned on the media at 6 o'clock news to see how the day went.
Yeah, so
they sat through it all.
So we'll see. And you know, he's been judged by a jury of his peers. We'll see how the board of pardons, you know, how they do this, because they've been appointed by the governor. So they're going to do what the governor wants, and so we'll see how that comes out. But like I said, I think the governor can save face, because it all depends on the appeal, which direction that goes, and it also depends on if there's a new trial.
Yeah, and so does Abbott win? Was that his goal? Well, he won the internet for a day,
right?
And he probably won the internet for a week or until such time that the board comes back up with their report. And I suspect that when they get lobbied as heavily as I suspect they're going to get lobbied, and they're going to get all this same stuff back, the unsealed comments that his text messages, they're going to have a hard time, because they don't like to let people out on parole who have a criminal background. If you have no criminal background, you're on your first charge in prison, they'll let you out on parole. You got a couple. No, they're not too keen on that. This guy's got a family violence history, and he admits to driving drunk regularly.
Yeah.
All the time in his comments.
But he wasn't drunk the night of.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you're not a menace to society, to whom somebody should be extended a great and extraordinary privilege.
Yeah.
A pardon from a murder trial.
But a smart person's going to look through that and say, well, he wasn't drunk the day of, so that didn't have anything to do with anything. I got to judge this guy on what he was doing the night of.
We're not there to judge his guilt any further.
No, that's correct.
That's already been established.
That's correct.
You cannot be pardoned unless you've been found guilty.
Now, Timothy says the unsealing information seals the deal for a win for the prosecution. I disagree, Timothy. What I think is the unsealing of all this information by the court is going to guarantee a change of venue if there's a new trial.
Oh, I don't know about that. Why do you think that, Mike?
Oh, man, they're dirty. Man, the way the media is going, they're dragging him through the mud right now. They're talking about these racist comments, and he's racist. And racism has nothing to do with this, because he was, as a white guy, shot another white guy. I don't see what the racism has anything to do with anything.
Except for this Black Lives Matter allies that he's railing against.
99% of them were white. I don't see what the issue is,
especially that night.
Black Lives Matter allies.
Why wouldn't he have shot the black girl in the wheelchair then, if he was so racist?
Right, the one that Garrett Foster was pushing in front of the car.
And that's why the jury didn't get to hear that stuff. The judge omitted that from the jury, because they didn't want the jury to be distracted from the question at hand, which was this murder, and was self defense available.
Right. And just keep in mind, time and time and time after, again, Garrett Foster was using his girlfriend, the black female, as a stop sign for oncoming traffic. He literally pushed her in front of the vehicles. He did this several times on several days. I got pictures of him in front of the Austin Police Department pushing his girlfriend in front of a vehicle. I'm going to show that picture here in a second that was caught from the cameras at the Austin Police Department, and also the cameras that the city of Austin uses.
Well, Mike, why didn't you go down to testify for the fellow?
Nah, that's not my job to testify. I'm not his attorney.
But you had evidence that proves that he was innocent, or that the engaged in
that. That didn't have anything to do with the day of. That had nothing to do with the moment in time when he was justifying and defending himself. That's Daniel Perry.
If you would have testified to show that it was Garrett Foster who's engaged in practices of of intimidation and probably
intimidation, racism, pushing a black female in front of oncoming traffic. Are you serious? Boy, we pointing that racism point in the wrong right direction.
There. That's a civil rights violation right there.
All right, we come back from the break. We're going to talk about this and more. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hi, this is Stephen Williford, the Barefoot Defender. I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're going to change gears just a little bit. We're going to talk about this serial killer possibility. What's going on here in Austin? People being drugged and pushed into the lake and drowned down town Austin, Texas. You know what's happening around Lady Bird Lake. There's a Facebook group. Over 60,000 people are on this Facebook group. They're going back and forth. They're pointing fingers at people. They're kicking people off the group like crazy. Man, is the killer in the group? I don't know. We're going to find out. We're getting down to the bottom of this. We're the ones that broke this story, and we're going to push this story all the way to the end until we figure out what's going on. All right, so Gary.
All right, so we have a map that we're going to pull up here. It shows the locations of every one of the four bodies that has been that have been found in the lake, pulled from Lady Bird Lake in 2023. There's a fifth body that we've added to the list as well that was not Zach. That was not in the water. It was found next to the water. And we also have some pictures here of the victims, just to show you the resemblance that each of these people that each of the victims has to each other. And this timeline goes back to 2019. Is that correct, Jamie?
2018
with Martin Gutierrez. Correct.
Yes.
The end of 2018. Okay. So with that said, I will turn this over to Jamie to. Talk about each individual victim, and then after that, we can show the video of the interviews I did over on Rainy. I actually went down there, and I asked about 40 or 50 people if they actually think there's a serial killer in Austin, Texas.
All right, so we're looking at this map, Jamie, so
yeah,
explain
so,
it to me.
So, you see, basically what it is each person that was found in this lake since 2018, starting off with Martin Gutierrez. Gary and I just interviewed his sister-in-law just a few days ago. Mm. Martin went missing from Rainy Street. He was at a bar called Alibi. His family says that he was acting extremely odd, very out of character, and he went missing. They have no clue what happened to him, and they found him several days later in the lake. From there, we're looking at... the unidentified body, that was Thaddeus Quest. That's down there at the southeast portion of the lake. That is the body that Thad had found back on January the 4th.
Thaddeus Quest. Okay, so where is that going to be?
That is down at the southeastern portion.
It's across from Oracle.
Right.
Pleasant Valley.
Oh, that far down.
Which is
wow.
Where that's
okay.
That guy, that was the fifth body that we're not sure if it's connected because it wasn't actually wet or in the water, according to Thaddeus's interview.
Literally directly across from where they found the body yesterday. We could see the spot where Thad found that body.
Oh, wow.
Where we were standing yesterday. So literally right across the lake. And then it goes into Jason John was found on February the 5th, if my memory serves me right. Again, he was on Rainy Street, went missing from there, and was in the water for a few days before he was found. The one that is kind of an unknown as well is Clifton Axtell. He went missing and was found on March the 5th. That particular death has not been reported on by the media in this town.
At all.
Complete silence. So, I found a little blurb about it, but with no name.
So Jamie essentially found this on his own. And we're now breaking this on the show.
Yeah.
Just like we basically broke this whole thing, which people have been talking about for a long time, but media won't touch it.
They're not.
And the police are not transparent and they're not reassuring people. Like you said in that interview earlier, you said the police are, if they were so positive these weren't accidents, they would be saying that to prevent pandemonium.
Yeah, it's odd how they are literally, you know, when asked yesterday specifically about why aren't you covering this? Why aren't you why are you not putting out any information? And they went into their standard answer of, you know, go out with friends, watch your surroundings. And we, you know, at that same point, when he held that press conference, it was literally about 2 hours, 3 hours after the body was found. And they are already going into the line of not one thing suspicious was found with this.
I think they may have some DNA of a suspect.
They could very well. I think
they're not telling us.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of the reason that they're not talking about it is because Rainy Street is the entertainment area. That's a lot of money in that particular spot, and they're not wanting to freak anybody out.
It could also be something as simple as they have their own investigation, and they don't want people derailing it, which would be people probably like us. But
what are we breaking today? What's that no one's talked about?
Clifton Axtell.
No, there was a body that was found yesterday that we were talking about.
Yeah.
So this body was found about 2 miles from Rainy, and it was severely decomposed. Yep. That is
downstream, right?
That, which is, I think, why it was so far downstream. And that would make sense if the body did go in the
been
Rainy
there quite
area.
A while.
Yeah, yes, been exactly. there a while, and you know it would take a little while to make it that far. And here's the other thing: where that person
could have been killed before this previous one.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, and where that body was found, it was making its way down the lake. That body was very decomposed, and if you look at where the body was found, there's so much foot traffic and so many fishermen in that area, it would be impossible for that to go unnoticed for any length of time. So there was several 911 calls about it yesterday. That body had to have gotten there yesterday. It had to have came down the river and just gotten to a spot where people could actually
stuck.
See it. Exactly.
Right.
So there, it, like I said, would be impossible in that spot. While we were there was, what, 4 or 5 fishermen in that area.
And we just had a lot of rain.
A lot
so
of
that
rain.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
That makes sense.
Right. So it could be from the Rainy Street area. So speaking
of
which.
Timothy, I tell you, you're smart, Timothy.
So speaking of which, we've got a video of the interviews we did. It's on a little bit of a lighter note because, you know, we went down to Rainy and asked people if they're scared or if they think there really is a serial killer. And, you know, we did this at like 10 p.m. So some of these people are a little bit buzzed or intoxicated, but let's go ahead and roll that.
No, you know what? Before we roll that, let me tell you what we should do. Timothy says they need to put the halos in that area.
Trail cams.
Let's put some game cameras in that area.
Yeah,
we need to go down there and put some gang cameras down there and drop.
I first heard that they said that they should put trail cameras down there in that Facebook group. So yeah, there's definitely some chaotic conspiracy theories in that Facebook group. Smiley face killer, occult killers, and this and that. But there's also people in there that really do have some very good ideas, really thought out ideas.
All right, let's go ahead and roll this clip.
On Rainy Street in Austin.
I can't really confirm or deny.
You are asking the one person who doesn't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe.
I think there is.
Yes.
Yes. Me and my dog are trying to eat. I don't really give a about a serial killer.
100%. I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't like this negative attitude.
I don't think there is. I think it's just an urban legend.
I've heard all about that serial killer. You know what the I gotta say?
I'm from Baltimore, baby. I dare that fucking serial killer. Try me,
I would say no, there's not a serial killer there. I think someone's dumbass enough. It sucks. But guess what? No. There's no homos.
All right, thanks, brother. I appreciate you, man.
What do you think's happening?
I think people are just getting really drunk and just passing out in places they shouldn't be.
Possibly just really drunk people that are
falling into the river.
Unless you're really drunk or, you know, on some type of drugs, how do you let somebody lure you to the water and then you drown?
They're saying that these guys are getting drugged.
Oh, well, then that's unfortunate.
You would think maybe their watch would be gone. Their stuff would be stolen. Their credit cards would be used, maybe.
Honestly, the first thing I think is that they would be raped.
Maybe women. Mm-hmm. I don't know about men as much.
What if the killer's a woman, dude?
That's possible.
Come on, man.
That's possible. I mean, it's 2023, baby.
It's 2023. There's female serial killers. Who do you think it is? Like, what kind of person do you think it is?
Somebody with really bad intentions.
You think it's a woman?
It could be.
You think it's a gay woman?
You're not allowed to say that. It's 2023. You're gonna get canceled.
All right. Is it a woman? Is it a man? What's the deal here?
It's a guy.
You think it's a gay dude?
Yeah.
I think it's a gay dude too. What do you think?
The same.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was like some type of vengeful, you know, lady. She got raped or something.
It's a team.
It's a team.
It's a team of both of them. The shorty pulls him back to the crib. The dude steps out of the closet. It's like that.
Are you scared?
No. I always have a blade on me just because I work here. I cut a lot of boxes.
Are you not worried that this guy's going to catch on to you and he's going to follow you around and try to kill you and your family?
Dude, no, I'm not. I mean,
should be, dude. Are you scared? Are you scared of this?
Well, I'm not a male.
Oh, so you don't care about men? Okay.
Supposedly it's, dangerous to come to Rainy Street now because there's things happening.
Somebody's allegedly drowning people in the lake. That's the guy we should follow. Hey! What a from a female mind. Why would someone be killing these guys?
Maybe he's bored? I don't know.
Based on NCIS, I would say that he has a problem.
You think he's gay?
Queen.
It could be.
What is the motive of the killer, if there's a killer?
Ooh. It's gotta be about money. It's always about money.
It's an inside job.
Are you the serial killer?
I could be.
I heard that it was like mixed race, you know what I mean? He was targeting interracial.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to cross-reference that with the chart I got going on. Okay, what's their motive?
Just kill him, I guess.
They're just pure evil.
They just absolutely kill.
Do you think it's a man or a woman?
Honestly, I couldn't answer that question because I have no idea.
Do you think that the killer is targeting certain people?
No idea.
Why are the only people that are dying are brunettes with brown eyes?
Where'd you hear that?
Every victim that's drowned is brunette with brown eyes.
I didn't even know that.
You think it's overblown?
Who knows?
Okay. Not a lot of strong opinions, but very based in facts. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's all good, bro. This is Austin.
Yeah, it's weird, dude. Sounds to me like the police kind of are leaving some details out. I don't really trust the police, honestly.
Austin is trying to do as a growing community, you know? You think they need that?
So one of my buddies who's in journalism as well mentioned that he thought that they would make up a story like a serial killer to lower the prices of the houses around here, to buy up the rest of the houses on Rainy Street so they can make apartment developments. Now, what do you think about that?
I mean, that's interesting, but I mean, anything's possible, right? I know there are a few people that hold out down here, you know?
There's one at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, well, dude, I appreciate your help, brother. I appreciate you, man. You got a dollar? Kind of look like the demographic that he's killing.
Yeah? You kind of do, too.
I know. That's why I'm a little bit paranoid.
We are both f***ed, brother. We are both f***ed.
Texas is a one-way consent state.
No, you guys.
Hey, right over here.
Get that.
Is that the serial killer?
So we're looking for a killer here in Austin, and all we found is a street brawl. Pretty common for Austin, unfortunately. Where'd the cop go?
All right.
No.
And this is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace. This is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right. So, man, I tell you, that was intense. A lot of stuff going on downtown on Rainy Street there. Fights and, you know, and a lot of opinions there.
Yeah. So, you know, I go down there. I like to have a good time when I'm talking to these people, get them loosened up because we don't want to be too serious. Otherwise, nobody's going to want to talk to me about it because it's obviously a dark topic and it can be kind of, you know, depressing to talk about. But so, you know, I go down there, have a drink or two and talk to these people. But in all seriousness, we did talk to probably 40 people. And the overall consensus was that I would say more than half the people think that these are just drunk men going to, you know, pee or being so drunk they fall into the lake. And then there are a lot of people who do think that there is a serial killer for whatever reason. A lot of the people thought that it was either a woman or a gay guy going after a specific type of male, which, Casey, if you put up the pictures of the victims on screen, we can see that they are all basically men that are more tan, complected, brown hair, brown eyes. Some of them actually look really similar. Martin Gutierrez and Christian Pugh
look a lot alike.
Really similar. Yes. They look almost like they could be related.
Yep.
But for the most part, I think people think it's just these are drunken mistakes. I'm actually curious if I went back down there now after they found another body, what people would say.
Yeah. Now, what about this? You said there was another body that was found closer to, was it? Not Google, but somebody else.
Oracle.
Yeah.
That was the one Oracle. That Thaddeus where we Quest. Interviewed Thaddeus. The interview we did on last week's show.
That's going to be the January the 4th, 2023?
Yes.
Unidentified? Okay,
but we don't know if that's... We don't even know who that is.
Right.
And he wasn't in the water, so...
Yeah, and the only other one that's an unknown right now is Clifton Axtell. I found that guy on accident, that death, just by searching through APD records and then found his obituary. He was definitely missing from Rainy Street and found... dead in Lady Bird on March the 5th of this year. And like I said, media is not talking about it. There's no information on that death.
Hey, what about Christian Pugh?
He was back in 2018. He went missing from Rainy Street. He was found
alive
but 3 days later in rough shape, according to the news.
But where?
On Congress and Lady Bird. He was in the bushes right there by Congress.
Yeah, it was Lady Bird. It's related, theoretically.
You guys need to put a spot on the map for him, too.
You know, we didn't do that because... I'm waiting to hear from him, to talk to him, because I reached out to him and he was on a podcast called the Honeydew something podcast with Ryan Honeydew. Sickler. What?
Yeah, it was on Honeydew.
And he said he seemed like jovial about it. Now this was a while back, a few months ago, but his parents told Jamie that he was traumatized by this and didn't want to talk to media, but then he's doing a podcast appearance. So
yeah, it was I think he was going to see Tom Segura.
He was,
was talking about that.
So
it seems like his family or someone's trying to cover for him.
Exactly.
That's what we were thinking.
And or protect him in some capacity because they don't think he should be talking about it, even if he disagrees. But my point is, I didn't put him on the map yet because I'm waiting to hear from him. And, you know, like, what if there's, like, another part of the story where he's like, yeah, I took some drugs and blacked out and went on this crazy bender. So I don't want to jump to conclusions here. And, you know, we obviously do speculate, but we do try to keep the speculation to somewhat of a minimum.
And it's hard because there is a massive amount of information when you cover all these deaths. It is, it's, you can get in the weeds real quick with it.
Right. And there is a Facebook group called the Lady Bird Lake Killer. And you can go join it.
If you can get in.
If you can get in, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Jamie was kicked out automatically because he maybe possibly said a word, like a hot word you're not supposed to say. You're not really allowed to say killer or a dead body and stuff like that. There's weird tag words. Yeah, weird rules. I don't think they handpicked him to remove him because one of them actually mentioned him in a post in a positive way. So... but the point that I want to say about the Facebook group is, like Michael said, that the killer is probably in that group if this really is a serial killer or possibly isolated murderers. But the group does have some good information in there and people that have brought up good points, like the trail cams. That's where I heard that. So if you do want info, it's a place that is at least a source. Not a database per se, but it is a source of information.
Yeah. You just got to be careful. Got to be real careful in there because, again, there's so much information. You don't know really what's real and what's not. So got to be careful.
Man, what do you think about all this stuff, Zach?
Oh, well, I mean, I think Gary's on to something.
Because you fit,
yeah,
in that,
that
you fit in that category. You should be, you
know, so yeah. Gary, and yeah. He's out there.
Yeah.
Well, and someone, you know what? Someone actually asked this question, you know, has any of the bodies been found with any rectal damage from rape?
No, I don't think there have been. And if there has been, then the police haven't talked about it. But that was the first thing I thought, too, is like, what would be this guy's motive? He's just, you know, usually serial killers sexually torture or do something that is, you know, disgusting and rape. Sexual assault, something like that.
All right, well, think about it. What if they did come out and say, oh, there's damage around the anus, there might be a serial killer? What would happen if APD
said that?
Oh, it
would be a freak out.
It'd be pandemonium.
Right, but that's
chaos.
You think that they shouldn't be honest and transparent with the people? You think the people can't handle it?
I don't think they shouldn't be.
Because now there's just a bunch of speculation and some people are just making stuff up. But this has been a rumor in Austin for like, dude, I had a buddy tell me that he's been following these deaths for 5 years. 5 years.
Yep.
And this is a buddy of mine that is, you know, I know him relatively well. He's not like just he's not a conspiracy theorist by any means, but he's interested in this specifically. But he works in service and he works in the bars. And he's been hearing these stories for five years.
People have been getting drugs.
Yeah.
Yes. You can take these deaths all the way back to 2008. You know, yeah, I mean,
and one thing about men are embarrassed. They're afraid to actually come out and tell you something happened to them.
Yeah.
Men will not do that. They're not going to let you know that someone maybe sexually assaulted them or something happened. They're going to be afraid to mention those things.
For sure. Yeah. The only, going back to the injuries on the body, the only confirmed injury to a body that I know of was Martin Gutierrez. He had blunt force trauma on the back of his head.
Back right, occipital.
Occipital lobe.
Right near where the head meets the neck.
Yeah. He had an actual bruise on his brain.
Who is this again?
Martin Gutierrez, 2018. We did talk to his sister-in-law.
Yes. Yes, sister-in-law.
She had some stuff to say.
That definitely contradicts what the police officer said. The police
this
said
was
that there's
one
no...
guy that had this damage. This year, none of the bodies have had damage, allegedly. And we don't even know. We still don't have the death certificate or any of the report from the body that Thaddeus found. So there's a lot of unanswered questions here. And the police are definitely, they have info that the public doesn't know about. Jamie's FOIA'd about 10,000 different things. I've talked to a number of people when I was down there yesterday. I talked to a handful of people that were there, and nobody really has the only person that had any info that was really different was Thaddeus, and he said that there was a guy there that was really interested in what was going on. So maybe potentially somebody's murdering people and throwing them in the lake so it looks like they drowned and throwing people off the trail.
All right, so we're going to stay on this case. We're going to talk about this later on down the road. We're going to continue to research this. Sorry we didn't get to you on the phone lines. Hope we'll get to you next time. As always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.